The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, you know, he just can't stay away, can he? His name is John Bishop and he is back at it. John, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
It's good to see you. It's been years, actually.
It has. It's been a long time since we've been in the same room together.
Yeah, it was the Late Late Show, I think, fun and games. Anyway, how are you doing? Because you've just toured Ireland and you're coming back in October.
Yeah, yeah. I came over 3 weeks ago on a motorbike. I've had a midlife crisis.
What did you buy? What kind of a bike?
I got a BMW GS1300, which for anyone who's into motorbikes is a good motorbike. And if you're not into motorbikes, it just sounds
impressive.
It's a number. It's a number, but sounds impressive, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's a tourer, I presume.
It's more of an adventure bike, which means that it can go off-road. But what's good about it, for Ireland, what was brilliant about it just takes the bends of the roads. So in places, because what I did the Wild Atlantic Way.
Yeah.
I fulfilled a lifetime ambition. I did gigs along the way, which took me to places I'd never heard of, like Belmullet and places like that, doing gigs in places like that. But the bike was the best way of seeing this country.
Yeah. Now, the problem is, on a bike, you round the bend and there's a cow patty in the middle of the road.
Oh.
And even a BMW 1300 is not going to be a...
I've got to tell you this, right? Because what I've been doing, I've been riding on the bike. You know, the world's now all social media and stuff. Yeah. So I had the camera on the bike, which was a 360 camera, so it could film me and film the road in front. And I wasn't doing this for television. I was just doing it for myself. And I was in Letterkenny, and I was coming back in Letterkenny to where I was staying. And I turned about, and the woman was waving me down to slow down. I turned around, and there's like 50 cows in the road. And I thought, oh, this would be brilliant on the footage. And I looked, and the camera had run out of battery. And I thought, what a time for the camera to run out of battery. And then as I noticed the cows were going past, then there was a bull amongst the cows. Then the bull climbs on the back of another cow. And I thought, this is probably a time not to have a camera. This couldn't have been more at rural Irish.
Your tour of Ireland, it took you, I believe you led the bike fest in Killarney, is that right?
I did.
Well, how did that come about? I mean, obviously, you're probably the most famous biker in Killarney at the time.
I don't know. There's some very famous guys there in the biking world. But what happened was I plotted the route of where I was going based on riding the Wild Atlantic Way. And we happened to book the Monday night in Killarney, the Bank Holiday Monday. And then we found out that there was a bike fest. And they said, you know, if you're going to be here, I was doing Limerick on the Saturday night. They said, on Sunday, come and do the ride. So I turned up on Sunday. And as I said, I'm a novice motorbiker. I've been riding a motorbike since November. And I turned up in all my brand new motorbike gear, surrounded by all these guys on big Harley Davidsons and so on.
And well-worn leathers.
Well-worn leathers. And as I say, a lot of the motorbikers, they had faces that looked like somebody else had worn the face before they got to go on the face. And they said to me, do you want to lead the parade? And it was such an honour. To go around Killarney, people coming out and waving at you. It was great.
And did they recognise you under the helmet?
Yeah.
Who was your man?
I made sure they could see the teeth.
Who's this? You know that story about you go into the dressing room in the golf club and there's a guy with all the new gear.
Yeah.
And the guys mutter, he must be brutal at golf.
yeah, that's true. That's exactly it. You look at somebody like me with the shiny motorbike and think, you're new to this, aren't you?
Now, you've done a bit of research into your background, your DNA.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did a show. In fact, that's what when I'm the stage show that I'm doing, the tour that I'm doing, is all about what got revealed by doing this television show, DNA Stories, and finding out about my Irish heritage. Because I've had a love for Ireland ever since I first came here. And I was trying to understand what that love is. And I found out it's because I'm more Irish than I am of anything else.
You knew you were Irish already, didn't you?
No, I knew there was some Irish in the family. Yeah. But I'd done a previous show where Who Do You Think You Are, which is a BBC One show. But they actually stayed away from the Irish heritage. And so I knew there was some Irish. Obviously, with the Liverpool connection, there's some Irish.
It used to be the biggest Irish city in the world.
Exactly. I just didn't know that there was as much as what there is.
What percentage are you?
65%.
65%. Almost two-thirds of you.
almost two thirds. I don't know which two thirds, but I'd say it was the best two thirds. I'm going to say below the knee is English.
And you discovered you're related to another famous actor, Hugh Bonneville.
Oh, yeah. Well, when we say related to, oh, great,
yeah,
great
there is a relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, great, great granddads were working within 30 yards of each other in the 1800s. I mean, it's staggering because we are the most unlikely friends to find that our great-great-granddads would have known each other is bonkers.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you were just compare the two of you, he sounds quite posh, doesn't he? Even when he's not in Downton Abbey.
Exactly. He's definitely the poshest Englishman that I can call a friend. And it's a very weird relationship because I feel like I'm his equerry. I feel like I should be opening doors for him and making sure his jackets are clean. Yeah.
Now, the show Back At It, what is that? What's your shtick in this show?
Well, the reality is that the last, I suppose, post-COVID, everybody had a look at what they're doing with themselves. And I had a lot of television commitments and I was doing acting, I was doing television presenting, I was doing an interview show. And the thing that I was squeezing in was the stand-up comedy. And the only reason I was doing any of the other stuff was because of stand-up comedy. And because I came to comedy late in life, as other opportunities have come, I've tried to make the most of them. Yeah. And I just took a step back and thought, well, actually, the thing I love the most, the thing that I can control the most, and the thing that will give me the most joy is stand-up comedy. Well, so I'm back at making that the main priority.
The two things I'm intrigued by. You say you came late to stand-up. How late was late?
I did my first ever. In fact, next year I'm going to do another tour to celebrate the fact that it will be in October next year, 25 years from when I first walked on a stage in a pub to tell a joke. So that was 25 years from my first open spot. And I was just shy of 35 when I did that. Mm. And then I left my job when I was 40.
So 5 years as an apprentice, trying it on.
Yeah. And during that time, I worked for a pharmaceutical company. And then I left my job when I was 40. And I'm 57 now. And I've just passed the time of being a professional comedian longer than I worked in the pharmaceutical industry. Mm.
What did your beloved say when you said, I'm thrown in this job?
Pat, why'd you bring that up? No, you know what she said? To be fair to Melanie, she was brilliant about it. Because I said, look, I've found this thing and I can't not do it. And it's this stand-up comedy and I need to do it. And so I kept on both things going at the same time. And then I noticed other people who started when I started, like Michael McIntyre, Alan Carr, people like that took off. And I just thought, if I don't do this now, what I'm going to do is to say I didn't leave my job because I had three kids and a mortgage to pay. And I'm going to blame my own children. And that's a coward's way out. I thought, I'm going to take the chance.
So you had to go.
So Melanie just said, basically, that's how much we need. Go and get it.
That sounds sound economics.
Exactly.
Honest. And how difficult was it to get that, that amount?
It was hard. For the first 3 years, I was definitely, we were just adding more money onto the mortgage. Just to get through.
Just to extend the mortgage.
Yeah. And then the fourth year it kicked off.
Yeah. And what was the moment? Can you remember, you know, what show was it or what appearance was it that?
I tell you, there was three separate moments. I got to do the Michael McIntyre Comedy Road Show, which was a BBC One show for people who were not necessarily good enough to get on Live at the Apollo or weren't booked for Live at the Apollo. I did that. Before I did it, the producers said to me, oh, I told you I'd get you on telly. I said, no, this is a new show. No one knows if anyone's going to watch it. He was the same producer who did Live at the Apollo. I said, if you book me on Live at the Apollo, then you got me on telly. He said, if you're good tonight, I will. Halfway through my set on the show, he phoned my agent and booked me for Live at the Apollo. And then he also got me on the Jonathan Ross show. And I tell you, the pivotal moment, Pat, and this will never, ever happen again in my life, I was touring at the time. I was doing art centres. I was selling about 500 or 600 tickets a week. I went on the Jonathan Ross show and sold 20,000 tickets that
week.
And that when I thought, oh my God, things are different now.
Yeah, and the fact is that you had a tour available to take go. Those
yeah,
20,000
exactly.
bookings.
Exactly. This
if you
is,
hadn't.
This, exactly. It's like this, you know, I've done this show, I've done very small venues like the Barrows in Clonakilty and all those little Blue Clifton and all that. And then people have not been able to buy tickets, so we've put on the three arena to give the opportunity to, because ultimately you don't know how interested people are unless you give them the chance.
Now, the other thing that intrigued me, you said you were going to go to do stand-up because you wanted to do something over which you had control. I would have thought that stand-up was the most anarchic business you can be in. Because you repartee with the audience.
But at least you can decide what day you do it. That's the main thing. At least you can pick the dates and the route.
Because you know the way you talk about that BBC show, Who Do You Think You Are?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a touch of that about the Irish. Who do you think you are?
Oh, tell me about it. And listen, the Irish are without doubt the reason that I went full-time with comedy. I did my first television break in Ireland. I did my first one-man shows in Ireland. I've just found that they will let you know if you're funny, but they'll also let you know if you're not.
Yeah. Have you had your moments with the hecklers?
Oh, no. On this tour, I've had some brilliant experiences, one of which I met the oldest person who I know to have come to my shows. It was in Galway, a lady called Frances, who was 92.
Yeah, and you gave her a hard time.
Oh no, well a little. No, we had the drink in the interval, but it was lovely to know that you'd appeal to such a wide range.
Didn't you say something like, "It's great that you decided to come here. You don't have much time left."
No, I said I'm honoured that you've come because some of this audience have got ages left, and it's true. She's made the decision to spend a night with me, which is great.
I hope she's still very much in the land of the living and hale and hearty.
So do I.
Doesn't have the John Bishop hex on her. So the summer, what does it bring?
I'm going to go to America. I've been asked to go again because I've released myself from all my telly commitments. I'm able to say yes to things. So I'm going to go and do gigs in the States in July and August. And then have the rest of August off.
Yeah. And do they find your accent comprehensible?
You know what? I've not done it yet. I've done a week of gigs in a comedy club in New York, and somebody saw it and said, come and tour. And I'm going Boston, Toronto, Vancouver, all over New York. I'm really looking forward to it, but I literally have no idea who's going to come and if they're going to understand me.
Yeah, well, if they understood John, Paul, George and Ringo, they could probably understand you.
Exactly.
Yeah, anyway, that sounds very exciting. Do you ever get nervous at all about any of those things like embarking on America? John Bishop takes America.
You know what I think, Pat, and this is honestly true, because I came to it without expecting it to be a job, I've always seen it as just fun. And I don't get that nervous. I don't get nervous. I just don't get nervous because I know it's not as important as what other people's jobs are. I'm just lucky to do it.
Yeah. And going back to when you started, the first time you stood up in one of those comedy clubs and did your 10 minutes or whatever it was, what was it before that told you you could do it? Were you the guy in the pharmaceutical company who would be telling all the yarns and the canteen?
Well, no, it was interesting because I'd only been to two comedy clubs in my whole life before I got up. Yeah. And one of them was with the pharmaceutical company. We went on a works night out and there was a girl who was from Ireland, actually, called Bernadette, who was our sort of medical information person. And we were watching the act, and she said to me in the interval, you could do that, you know, you should have a go. And I thought, what are you talking about? It's never, ever entered my head. But then I watched this and I thought, that would be a great thing to do. But it was never, ever on the agenda, ever.
Back to Melanie, your beloved. You give her regularly a hard time.
I do not give her a hard time. She lives in a very nice house, Pat. That's what I say. Look.
So whenever she complains about one of your one-liners.
Exactly. I said, your contribution to the material is essential. That's why you've got a nice house and a horse.
John Bishop, back at it, it's called. It's happening in the Three Arena on the 5th of October. Tickets from Ticketmaster. And John, what a pleasure it is to meet you again.
Pat, great to see you.
Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.